Hey, this is Adam Sorensen, politics producer at Time.com. Welcome back to The Call, a weekly conversation with Time's political reporters on what they've been working on and the latest from Washington. Joining me this week are Michael Scherer, Time's White House correspondent, G. Newton Small, our congressional reporter, and Kate Pickert, healthcare staff writer.
We should definitely start off talking about the topic everyone's talking about, which is healthcare. Seems like the possible electoral impact of the bill is really a major consideration for many House Dems at this point. Michael, you wrote about Obama's pollster, who has been making the argument that passing this bill will be a big help to them in November rather than a liability.
Yeah, the argument is essentially that right now the American people are uniformly like at 60, 70, 80% outraged, disillusioned, despondent about the process in Washington and how things work and how the sausage gets made, and that the divided support for this healthcare reform now, it pulls, you know, a few points down right now, so it's like 48, 44, something like that. It has a lot to do with people being upset at the process. And once you pass something into law, the process goes away, and Democrats will be able to sell what is actually in the bill going into November as a big win.
What happens Monday? If it passes, is there going to be a big victory lap, or is it going to be quickly pivoting? And if it fails, is the world going to end for Democrats? Is everything going to implode?
Well, this is Jay. I mean, I think certainly if it fails, yeah, I mean, the Democrats have pushed everything in on this, and there are sort of all the chips are on the table. And if it fails, it's pretty crippling for the agenda for the rest of the year, for the party. It's especially ahead of the midterm elections, it'll cause a lot of damage electorally to them. So, yeah, I mean, that would be kind of catastrophic. And if it does pass, then I think, look, it is going to be it's a huge historic bill. It's a legislative victory. They've been working on this for over a year. And I think it's a massive sigh of relief for Democrats to finally get off the subject of health care and move on to other subjects they want to talk about. And so it goes from sort of an A1 story to an A27 story when, you know, it's sort of getting through the process of reconciliation. And because it doesn't matter as much. The bill's already become law, and now you're just trying to fix the bill that's already law. And
I think everybody's going to be pretty happy to pivot away from health care and do some other stuff.
Including the press.
Yeah.
Especially the press.
We're all really sick of it.
Yeah, I think it would be really interesting to see how the minority in the Senate plays this. They've promised in sort of veiled threats to bottle stuff up and make a big stink even after the bill signed into law over reconciliation. But it's hard to see how that will play to their political advantage. So at some point they have to sort of give it up. And I don't really have a sense of how that's going to play out.
Do you guys think that there's any political liability in arguing against the fixes, given that there's some things in there that are universally unpopular, like the Cornhusker kickback and stuff like that?
I mean, basically, the Democratic argument is going to be, this is Jim Bunning all over again. You know, they're just bottling stuff up to bottle it up, and this is stuff that's clearly helping the American people. So I think the answer is yes. The flip side is that if Republicans can keep process, can keep the idea of, you know, Democratic dysfunction, the parts of this bill that voters don't like that much, the spending, things like that, in the public eye for a few more weeks, maybe it benefits them. So they've got to be weighing those two things off of each other. The other thing I would say is that the one narrative the White House really wants to push over the next 3 or 4 months is this idea that Republicans are stopping the fixes that will help improve our lives in this country, and they're going to use that. It's a reverse process argument. You know, Republicans are standing in the way. Republicans are obstructing things, and they're going to use it on financial regulatory reform, which is coming up soon. They're going to use it on campaign finance reform. They're going to keep up on this filibuster thing. And so there is a real danger. McConnell could be playing into that storyline, or at least setting up the storyline, because the White House clearly wants to keep it going all the way through November.
Taking the long view here, if this does go through, do you think it speaks more to the legacy of Obama, because this is the signature legislation for his presidency so far, or does it speak more to Nancy Pelosi's legacy that she's gotten absolutely everything through?
Well, it does speak to her legacy, and she is probably the most powerful speaker in a generation, and certainly in the last 50 to 60 years. But at the same time, I think that this vote could be this could be sort of the final vote for her in many ways. It could, you know, it could cost enough Democrats their seats that they'll lose the House, and that's sort of the gamble. You know, in voting for this, are they voting essentially to lose the House, and is this a noble vote that where you're falling on your sword and you're saying, I'm willing to do this because it's such an important issue and it's such a big bill, and this is sort of it. But this is it. We're probably going to lose the majority, and it's going to be, you know, it's a catastrophe. Or can they, in the next few months running up to the election, spin it to such a way that it becomes a success for them and a boon?
It'd be interesting if you gave Nancy Pelosi truth serum and asked, would you rather have health care reform and lose the House and basically lose your job, or not get health care reform and keep the House? My guess is she'd go with the first.
If this thing does pass, you know, I mean, it's interesting. We've heard a lot about government being broken and how nothing's working. But if this goes through, the policy really went through the ringer, and a lot of stuff got put in, a lot of stuff got taken out, it really got shifted around a lot. You could make the argument that it was made better by going through this process. Isn't that going against the general theme of broken government?
Yeah, I think the American people are angry in a very intense way, even more intense than a few years ago when they were also very angry. And they take that anger out on the process, but the anger does not come just from watching the earmarking process and everything else. The anger comes from their own personal senses of insecurity, from the economy going down, from them having less money in their house or less money, less raises from their work, or health bills going higher. I mean, the country as a whole is more or less on a declining course right now. It has been for a number of years. Doesn't mean it won't turn around. And that's where the anger is coming from. It gets projected onto this process stuff. I do think it's, without a doubt, Obama having a deliverable going into the midterms is better than having nothing, because he can say, okay, we got something done. I mean, it's really unclear now that whether or not he's going to be able to get financial regulatory reform, which is pretty central to that anger. You know, Wall Street having hurt everyone in America while they made themselves rich and are continuing to make themselves rich. So he needs something to walk into the to give people when they walk into the ballot boxes.
All right, one more question, guys. The vote is supposed to happen Sunday. Who do you want to see right afterwards? What do you think the best reaction is going to be?
Ooh, I want to hear from Betsy Markey and the really vulnerable Democrats that had to take that vote, and sort of see, did they feel that they fell on the swords, or fell on their swords, or would they, or do they think that somehow this will turn around and it'll be a big, you know, triumph for them in the end?
Michael.
As a White House correspondent, I'm contractually obligated to say the President of the United States.
Well, you know, you took mine, Michael. I mean, I guess I'd be curious sort of how Obama would kind of, you know, spin it forward and what he would say after.
Well, I sort of imagined before they canceled the Indonesia-Australia trip that, you know, there's champagne on Air Force One, that they just would have broken it out. They had a 20-hour flight there if they'd gotten the vote and taken off to just, you know, celebrate completely and then land and have it all through their system. I wonder if they actually do it, how they all, you know, let these demons out. This has been a long, very painful fight for everybody in that building.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
For more political news and analysis, head over to time.com/politics. Once again, I'm Adam Sorensen, and this is The Call. Tune in next week.